afternoon, and welcome to the Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting. If anyone wants to address an issue that's not on the agenda, or if you'd like to speak regarding a non-agenda item, there are speaker request forms in the back on the podium. Please fill those out and submit those to Director Jerminski. All right, Director, will you note roll?
Yes. Secretary Fontes.
Present.
Board Member Hayden.
Here.
Board Member Williams.
Present.
Board Member Lahavi.
Present.
And Board Member Zerman.
Present.
And Chairperson Fitzgerald.
Present. All right. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and approval of the May 31st, 2019 regular session meeting minutes. Does everyone have a chance to go over those, and is there any discussion?
They look fine.
Oh, they look fine to me, too. All right, is there a motion to approve the May 31st regular session minutes?
I move to approve the May 31st, 2019 regular session minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Williams to approve the May 31st, 2019 regular session minutes. All in favor?
I'm sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, passes unanimously. Director will record the vote.
Did you do the declarations of conflict of interest?
Oh, no. The next item of the agenda is the declarations of any conflict of interest. Anybody? Any conflicts? Nope. No conflicts of interest today. Let's move on to important stuff. The next item on the agenda is the possible action. Oh, we have a presentation from the Asian Medicine Acupuncturist of Arizona, YM and Nadine Piazza.
Correct. So they did indicate that they would be here for this presentation. I confirmed with them yesterday.
Can we give them a little bit of time?
Give them some time and take them once they arrive.
I think that works. Then let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding the ratification of applications for licensure approved by the executive director.
And Chairperson Fitzgerald, members of the board, each one of these individuals were reviewed for approval between the last board meeting and this one. Each one of them have passed a CNT course. They've been educated at an improved college with more than enough clinical and didactic hours, and didn't have any criminal history in their backgrounds and met the other requirements for licensure. So our recommendation is to ratify these approvals.
All right.
I'll raise a motion to ratify and approve their applications for licensure.
Any discussion on that?
Yeah, did we used to get the matrix with all the...
Absolutely, and I do prepare that when there are applications that we're reviewing, but there's no one in these applications had anything that was remarkable in any way. So.
Okay. All right, so nothing that we needed to flag. Yeah. All right, then is there a motion to approve?
I will raise a motion to approve the application submitted for licensure.
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Zimmerman and seconded by Board Member Hayden to approve the ratification of the applications for licensure by the executive director. All approve?
Aye.
All in favor, I meant to say. Those opposed? All right, it passes unanimously. Ooh, a little tongue-tied today. All right, we're moving along. The next item on the agenda is the consent for the ratification and license of certificate renewals approved by the executive director.
Again, Chairperson Fitzgerald, members of the board, these are individuals who filed applications for renewal between the last board meeting and this one. Each one of them has been reviewed and didn't have any derogatory information in their background. If they had, they would be coming before this board for review outside of this consent agenda. Otherwise, they were eligible for renewal and their licenses were renewed.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All right. Is there a motion on the consent?
Make a motion to accept the 68 renewals as presented in the agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right, motion by Board Member Williams and seconded by Board Member Hayden to approve the consent of the ratifications of certificate renewals. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It passes unanimously. The director will record the vote. All right, the next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action on the applications for auricular acupuncture training program approval. Director Jeminski?
Yes, this is the People's Organization of Community Acupuncture called POCA. They are requesting approval to train auricular acupuncturists who would be eligible for certification by this board, similar to NADA. The board does have a history of approving entities outside of NADA, and that they approved Pima to produce auricular acupuncturists also. And so this would be in addition to that. So there'd be a third option for individuals to obtain training from in auricular acupuncture and become certified by this board. They provide materials which are available to you there. And so your decision today is to find whether or not these materials that provided provide you with a comfort level that they're providing adequately trained and competent auricular acupuncturists that are similar to the standards of NADA.
Okay. So they did provide us that manual, which looks pretty thorough. I also noticed that they had sections on trauma-informed care, which I think is important if we're going to be changing the definition of the auricular certification.
Did anyone read this?
Yes.
Looks good. I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing.
Susan, you've had some experience with POCA. What do you think about this organization?
I do have experience with POCA. I went to acupuncture school in Portland, Oregon, to the POCA organization. The school is separate from the POCA entity. I believe that this is within the purview of the POCA entity. I found the school to be nothing short of amazing. They are very, very socially oriented. They recruit and attract people from backgrounds where many other schools would be cost prohibitive. And they are overseen by NCCAOM. We know a number of people who recently graduated and completed all of their NCCAOM training and passed all the curriculum. So I would have nothing but positive things to say about the organization.
Okay. So just to clarify, POCA in general does teach full acupuncture, community acupuncture, so acupuncture on the whole body, but they're trying for us to be approved for just the auricular portion of this?
Correct.
And their auricular portion, do they mostly teach NADA? Is there more points?
It is strictly the NADA protocol.
Strictly the NADA protocol.
So they're an acupuncture school.
So this is, I believe that this is within the purview of the POCA, People's Organization of Community Acupuncture, not necessarily just tied to the school. I think they're set up as two separate entities.
And POCA Tech itself is approved by committee for ACOM, the Accreditation Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine.
Okay. Their materials seemed thorough to me. They've already been, like you said, accredited by outside organizations. I don't see why we would not approve them. Does anybody have any discussion? Did anybody see any red flags as they went through the material?
So this is online and then they have to go to classes? Or
there is a component of it, I believe, it's online, but there are in-person classes and didactic.
I went to their website get the impression. And I didn't see any trainings listed at all, like zero.
That it's a new training program. They did their first rollout in Milwaukee a couple of months ago.
At the end of May.
Do you know, are they planning on having them here in Arizona? Or
That's why they can't until there's an approval from the board.
So there shouldn't be anything online.
Where are they located?
There are approximately 200 clinics that belong to the POCA organization. The school is located in Portland, Oregon.
What I mean is I would expect to see that they had events in Portland.
They're scheduled in Rhode Island in September. From what it looks like here, that they're in many, multiple states.
Yes, it's just now kind of rolling out. That's why they applied to be approved in Arizona so that they can move forward with that.
And the person that's applying for this is a current Arizona acupuncturist. and a supervisor in the chemical dependency program. So it seems like they have the right background here.
I'll say that the manual was very extensive and had a history back to the 1970s.
It did, which I was really interested in reading. I didn't realize that it was developed by the Black Panthers and the Young Lords. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yes, they taught a lot of that at within their tradition and within their acupuncture program. They also teach that.
The history of it. And it looks like they also do clean needle technique.
Absolutely.
Which is really important. That was an important part of the manual for me. This looks pretty clean.
The letter that they submitted pointed out that that NADA.
If you'll allow me to, I think that may be that the rule is not entirely clear. And if you don't understand what it's saying, our rule says, pull it up real quick. to obtain board approval of an auricular acupuncture training program that is not approved by, which is basically not NADA, the provider of the training program shall submit to the board evidence that the program is conducted in accordance with the NADA Registered Training Resource Manual, incorporated by reference and approved by another board certifying entity for acupuncture. And so if you read that rule, which I'm not allowed to interpret for individuals who contact the board, it appears that it's requiring them to basically be certified by NADA or get some sort of nod or approval from NADA in order to perform their program. I think the correct interpretation is that it has to be equivalent to or performed similar to the NADA program, and that we have incorporated that reference manual so that we can compare it, but that it's substantially similar to NADA.
And they have been very forthcoming with NADA and been working in tandem with them, and NADA's response was that in the spirit of Michael Smith, more is more, and to work harmoniously and reach as many people as humanly possible.
I think one of their big points is they were just worried that we are trying to get their organization to use a manual that they didn't actually have copyrights to.
Right.
And so, you know, they just wanted to be clear that while they're giving us their manual and the standards are equivalent, that it is not the same, and wanted to make sure we weren't requiring them to be the same because they don't have that right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that seems reasonable.
And she is available to call if the board wanted to talk to her about the program.
Okay.
Well, they did go on and on about this. Maybe we should let them know that it was intended to be a reference manual, not...
Would you like me to call and we can speak to her?
So just for a little more clarification, this program is the 30 hours of didactic, 16 in-person and 14 hours of tested training content. So you were wondering if it was online. They've really laid out the in-person versus training content, tested content. And then it goes on also to say, you know, 40 supervised NADA treatments, or the 5-point ear treatments. What's 5 MP?
Needle point.
Well, 5 needle portal, because they don't want to call it NADA. Fair enough. So 40 of those treatments have to be supervised for this particular certification.
Hello.
Hello, Ellen.
Hi.
Hello, this is David Chermensky at the Arizona Acupuncture Board. I have you on conference with the board here in Boulder and B in Phoenix.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. We're taking a look at the information you sent us about your new auricular program. Would you like a couple minutes to tell us about it?
I mean, sure. I'm looking. I'm approved by the board so that people can. Attend trainings in Arizona, and then apply to get their auricular certificate. Hopefully, this will be something that, you know, is an alternative to NADA, so that more people can start practicing the five-needle protocol in approved settings. As you can tell if you look at the application, this is a national effort that's really just beginning, and we have a few trainers in various states, and I'm hoping to get this approved, and I'm willing to work with you in order to fulfill whatever requirements you need. I'm not sure, what you want to hear in terms of our intention was mainly to get, to address the need in places where there aren't enough trainers, enough NADA trainers, and
I'm sorry, we're having some connection issues. Can you hear us clearly?
Hello,
can you hear us?
Yeah.
Fantastic, I think we can hear you again. We did miss your last sentence, I apologize.
Okay, so we created this in order to address need in places where there aren't enough NADA trainers. POCA as an organization, cooperative, leverages massive online educational resources. We have lots of CEUs. We have lots of systems in place that can enable our trainings to be, in general, more affordable than NADA's training seems to be. And our program is designed to be consistent and replicable, and has a focus on trauma-informed care. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have about it.
So when you're speaking of trauma-informed care, your five-needle protocol, are you treating trauma and addiction or trauma with addiction only? What is the teaching that you're giving your students?
That encompasses both, since the five-needle protocol addresses both trauma and substance use disorders.
Okay.
Absolutely. But the training, when we say trauma-informed, we want to train our practitioners to treat with a trauma-informed approach. You know, that part isn't about addressing trauma. It's about understanding that probably everybody, whether they tell us or not, has experienced some trauma in their life. And trauma is often at the root of the substance use disorder. So we just want our trainees to be very informed about how to best avoid triggering people who have experience trauma, whether they tell us or not, whether they know about it or not, but to create that kind of environment for them.
All right, and then I also noticed that you perhaps needed some clarification on our approval process, in that it states that it needs to be conducted in accordance with the NADA Registered Training Resource Manual.
Right, yeah, I had spoken with Sarah Bursack, who's the executive director of NADA, about that. And like I wrote in the email, she said, well, you know, that would be really impossible for you to do because that would be a copyright infringement of the NADA manual. So I'm not sure what you mean by in accordance with, but I can say that she has taken a look at our training manual and was very impressed. I think the word that you used to describe it was it's very current.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she ever heard back about it.
And that manual you're speaking of is the one that you sent us, correct?
Right, the 130-page manual.
And we did have time to review that. It looks good, and I want to offer a little bit of clarification about that wording. We do not need your manual to be the same as the NADA Registered Training Resource Manual. Definitely, we understand the copyright issues. Really, what we are looking for, and which I believe you have provided, is an equivalency to that, in that the same level of standards are being upheld in the training and certification process.
Gotcha. Great. Thank you. That makes sense.
Okay, and then it looks like here you guys are applying for the 30 hours of didactic work. The 16 of it will be in person, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And then the 14 hours of training content, tested training content, this is in person as well?
No, that is the self-study manual that people will need to spend that amount of time going through on their own, which is basically the same as what NADA does. Like, they provide their trainees with a manual as they go, you know, spend time reading that.
I see.
And we will provide a test on the material, and we do provide a test on the material, which is already included in what the online version of the NCCAOM approved CEU is. It's like a 14 CEU approval.
Okay, and then these individuals go back to their own hometowns, and then they are responsible for 40 supervised 5-needle protocol treatments, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I want to open this up to the board to ask any other questions that they have at this time.
How many people have taken this class?
So far, we had one training in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and there were 14 attendees.
How many completed it?
So far, I have 4 certificate holders.
When was the training?
That was at the end of May.
How much time do you give your trainees to finish their training and their supervised sessions?
They have 1 year.
1 year.
And if they don't, if they don't submit their worksheet and their quiz and their ears, their supervised ears within a year, they would have to repeat the in-person training.
Okay, and you look like you have 2 different tracks for a non-acupuncturist and an acupuncturist. What's the major difference between those two?
The major difference is that for the acupuncturist, they are already licensed to practice the 5-needle protocol wherever they want. So our thinking at POCA is that anybody, they would either want the 14 CEUs just for CEU purposes, or there are people who are going to be interested in becoming trainers themselves, trainers of, you know, regular acupuncture technicians. So the people who we start out with, okay, go ahead and do the online CEU, and then they would start attending trainings and train to be a trainer.
I see. So then they are not required to do the 40 supervised 5-MP protocol sessions.
Correct, because they're already licensed to practice.
Okay.
Like, they already, most of these people already would be practicing acupuncture.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right. I appreciate your time today and being able to take a couple moments and make have some clarification for us. Hopefully we clarified some wording for you in our statutes.
Absolutely, yes, and thank you so much for your consideration and your time.
All right, we will be in contact. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, that was helpful. Any more discussion on that particular topic? Any more questions?
Is it time for a motion?
I think it might be time for a motion. All right. Dun, 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 dun. Is there a motion to approve the application for a regular acupuncture training program for POCA?
I move that we approve the POCA training.
Is there a second?
I'll raise a second, please.
All right.
Do we have a number of hours that we're approving? Or that we're requesting?
We're not approving it. It wouldn't be approved for continuing education, so you're not doing it for hours.
Okay.
It's just the program itself as appropriate for certification for our regular acupuncturist applicants.
You second that. I believe we had, Mindy, you made a motion, and we had a second by Board Member Zimmerman. So a motion by Board Member Hayden and seconded by Board Member Zimmerman to approve POCA's application for a regular acupuncture training program.
Excellent.
All right. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding the advisory opinion from the Arizona Nursing Board on advanced practice registered nurses providing acupuncture. This is in our board meeting materials. I think it's important that everybody take a look at it. Essentially, we've had a continuing discussion about where the board stands and what our opinion is on registered nurses, and in this case, advanced, what's the exact? Let me bring this up. Give me 1 second here. Oh, for APRNs, that's advanced, what does the P stand for? Advanced practice.
Registered nurses.
Perfect. So essentially that's NPs. That's what we call them, is for NPs to now have the ability to practice acupuncture. This is coming from the Board of Nursing. Their board is an advisory board, meaning they can put out advisory opinions such as this. Once the opinion has gone out, it is now within their scope of practice. I think it's important to say that within this statement of scope, they've said that they will be regulating educational requirements. Specifically, they say that they will be in charge of the documentation of satisfactory educational requirements from an approved acupuncture training program.
I have one question regarding this. When you say an NP, I think of a practical nurse. What I believe you're saying is an advanced nurse practitioner or a family nurse practitioner, so a master's degree. Is
yes.
that correct?
Correct.
Yes, a master's degree.
It's not an LPN. It's an advanced practice. They are in their master's. They have gotten their master's.
Okay. Just want to be sure I understand that.
If you scroll down on this particular list, they have a little box that they've made really outlining what is within this scope of practice change, which is the ability for them to do acupressure, acupuncture, and cupping, acupuncture with moxibustion, auricular acupuncture, dry needling, electroacupuncture, laser acupuncture, and laser Doppler flowmetry. The one thing they did leave out is the auricular. I have no idea. Does anybody have any experience with flowmetry?
No.
Might be interesting to look into what that is for our own knowledge. Dr. Jaminski, can you find us some definitions on that?
I can look it up right now.
So excellent. One thing to note in that table is that they've left out auricular acupuncture detoxification.
Yeah, I was surprised. Why?
I think because it's a separate certification and we're currently in the middle of that process, that they are leaving that to us to continue to certify. That being said, we are changing that certification. We're in the process of changing it from only treating addiction to also treating trauma. They specifically have detoxification listed there, so I believe it would be pertinent for us to let them know that if they're going to continue down that path, we will be changing it, and it will be a slightly different certification.
Okay. Right, because above that, they indicate just auricular acupuncture.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Not auricular detoxification.
I think it's a lack of understanding when they put this together, that they didn't understand that in the auricular acupuncture curriculum that they teach the detox and the other component together. So, yeah. That's something they may need to address and fix in here, or either remove, or I think they would have to remove either the auricular portion or not require them to get the certification.
Okay. Does anybody know how this works, the advisory opinion? Is this like a magic wand where you just wave it and now it's within your scope?
The nursing board has it within their statutory authority. They have a committee that has it. Advisory powers, that's in their statutes. That's how they define their scope of practice. Because the scope of practice, it's not like nurses can do X, Y, Z. It's basically nurses can do what's in their scope of practice. The committee decides what's in their scope of practice. That's just how their scope is determined.
And so using the DARTs would be included in that scope, is that correct?
I'm not sure. I couldn't
see that. The ASPs?
Yeah.
That may be something else that the board may want to let them know about our certification process, and also that there are these new little DART things that are concerning that they may want to also either include or not include specifically in their scope. Mm-hmm. But that would be another item for the board to let them know
So they're not addressing battlefield acupuncture as a classification.
So
we went from them wanting to do acupuncture, battlefield acupuncture, to now they're going to be doing everything. It's amazing.
And this opinion is on acupuncture procedure.
I would assume that because battlefield is so specific, that it would probably, if they're already allowed to do acupuncture in general, that advanced practice nurses should be able to also engage in battlefield because it's kind of a subset.
Yes.
However, I believe when battlefield came, they wanted to also utilize RNs. And this is not a free license for RNs. This is just your advanced practice nurses that have gone through the optional acupuncture training.
Right.
If you're an advanced practice nurse that got certified in pediatric nurse practitioner, as a pediatric nurse practitioner, and you know PCH doesn't do the acupuncture on the children, then it's not going to apply to them. They probably didn't do this in their education.
So they always had that option to have an acupuncture track?
According to this, there's a clinic, classical acupuncture theory, diagnosis and treatment, and clinical training that's offered through an nationally or internationally accredited program, so it must exist. If it didn't exist, then I think they would have a harder time justifying this within their scope. But it's clearly stating here that there is a general requirement of an approved course of instruction in acupuncture that includes XYZ, and therefore their rationale why it's in their scope of practice is because they've received the proper education and training.
Now, I do want to note that this opinion is very clear that after getting training to do acupuncture, advanced practice registered nurses cannot use the title licensed acupuncturist.
Yes, they will not be an LAC.
Okay.
So there will, I mean, there's a large differentiation in title, but maybe not in
they will
what
be
can actually happen during treatment.
It's interesting that they list dry needling as an acupuncture procedure.
Mm-hmm. Once again, lack of understanding. Also with the flowmetry.
Did you find anything on that, Dr. Minsky?
Director. I see
Director
lasers Drinsky.
All over.
Right. I got a promotion, as it were. So it's a device that measures microcirculation in tissue. And so they uses light, they put it onto the person's skin, and it measures the circulation, microcirculation in the skin itself.
Because I know regular Dopplers are with the sonogram, like the ultrasound machine.
Yeah.
So that's a new one for me, too. Thanks, David.
Mm-hmm.
Laser Doppler. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, there's really not a lot to be done. There's not a lot of actions for the board to take on this, other than to make some clarification about the AccuDetox licensure, or certification, I should say.
It's when I had discussion with, pardon me, Chairperson Fitzgerald, when I had discussion with the individual who we were corresponding about previously on that committee, it seemed that they were they felt that for a person to be involved in a detoxification situation, that they would likely need to get NADA or POCA now or PIMA training and become certified by this board in order to perform that.
Let's get a little clarification. Can you open
Absolutely.
That discussion up for them?
Yeah.
Right. And just let them know what our changes are going to be and, you know, where they're going to stand in relationship to that.
Yeah. So you want me to contact them to ask why detox therapy was not included in their list?
Why it wasn't included, let them know that we're changing our certification to include trauma or that we're in that process. Also make sure, get some clarification as to why they left it out, and then also maybe inform them that dry needling is actually not acupuncture.
And also about the barb thingy, the weird.
Oh, yes, in the
the darts.
Yeah.
The darts.
Yeah, I don't know what the terminology is, but darts. Ask them about the darts.
What am I asking them about the darts?
Whether or not they're
barbed ear needles that
the dart
are
slash
retained
acupuncture, whether or not that's included in their scope.
I think just look up ASP needles.
Yeah.
ASP needles. Yeah, I looked at those. Those are really funky looking.
They hurt.
They hurt.
They look evil, like medieval.
People have trouble sleeping with those things.
Oh, yeah. I never made it through a night. Never made it through a night.
I don't think I made it through an hour. I was like, you gotta get these off.
I can barely make it through the night with the seeds in my pillow. All right. Okay.
I think our presenters are here.
Oh, fantastic. So, it looks like our presenters from the Asian Medicine Acupuncture Service Arizona is here. So, the next item of the agenda is the review discussion possible action on the presentation from the Asian Medicine Acupuncture Service Arizona, YM Chen and Nadine Piazza.
Listen, could you click that thing so it's
is
recording? You can set it. What you may need to do. 5-10 minutes. Yeah.
I make this in the last minute. Yeah. And Minister, I'm going to make copy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that you guys can understand what I am talking, because sometimes I have very strong Chinese accent. Maybe you can quite understand me. Okay.
And why I'm in the board, we have about a 10-minute time limit for this presentation, but we are very much so looking forward to hearing what you hear
to say.
Okay,
10 minutes. Okay, real quick.
Just a point of clarification, Madam Chair. My name is, members of the board, I'm Catherine Nemec, not...
Catherine Nemec.
Nadine's one of our students who's on there, but I'm also a member of the...
And how do you spell your last name?
Nemec is N-I-E...
Catherine Nemec.
N-I-E-M-I-E-C. Thank you.
And Nadine was originally going to be present... from my correspondence with YM, but it's unfortunate.
I am YM Chen. I'm sorry. Thank you, everybody, for meeting you. I'm sorry late. I got 1 o'clock. I way out from Endon. Take about 45 minutes driving. Anyway, so Catherine Newman is the president of the CEO of Pima. So I invite her to be my guest. And so we are happy to meet everybody here. And finally, the AAT, Asian Medicine Acupuncture Arizona, in the new association, but it's not quite new, but I saw them, it's called New Acupuncture. Anyway, in detail here, it's kind of large, long detail. We started in last October, and we started, you know, action in November. Actually, we started about 8-9 months. And we have, I know the time is short, I make it really short, but we had a very good, you know, mission that we are trying to support acupuncture board, and we are trying to get our, you know, profession in the next level. And we want to, you know, keep up, you know, acupuncture in the, you know, continuing education, be a good level, and protect the public safety. Okay, that's our main, you know, primary purpose. So now this association now has 26 members, and we have 4 executive members, we have 6 advisory members, and 7 large members at large, and 5 student members, and we have 6 committee. So I'm not going to go to the committee. By yesterday, we had 106 members, 106 members. Okay. So we are very happy. So now, last few months, and we have been done a lot of activity. I'm not going to go through over here, but you know. So it's interesting that we are almost every month we have activity going. Okay, we are non-stop, and everybody's so and very, you know, excited that we are, you know, going to the next step. So, on the behalf of the entire, you know, association, Catherine and I would like to take the opportunity to thank you for the board that's supporting our CEU. We have already had several CEU that approved by the board, even approved by California board and NCCAON, and we did very good job. And so, hopefully we'll continue to working on, you know, this continued education. And plus, we appreciate the board. David and Mario and Jimmy, and we all attend Chinese New Year in March. And we had 130 people show up at that event, and we were so excited. But I apologize that, you know, next year we're going to have a better, you know, turnout. Well, we make sure that we don't have any trouble with the, you know, the food and things that we have the problem. I apologize for that. And you know, and we will have different locations next year. So say this date, January 18th of 2020, it's going to be our next celebration. Next year is going to be the 24th annual annual celebration of agriculture and organic management of Arizona for 21 years. Okay? And then we're going to have Chinese New Year or year to wrap RAP out. And when it's going to be a new Chinese New Year in a new century, because this year of pig, it's going to be gone. So it's going to be a big event for us. So hopefully we'll have generate more people to come. So hopefully every board member will come next year. Okay? Now, I do have a few questions here from our, you know, our board and member. Now, the about changing that have been made with the government's office and acupuncture or other healthcare board regarding to a recent regulation, which means any acupuncture or any profession from other state come to Arizona, if they apply for acupuncture license or, you know, acupuncture license, anybody can be accepted, or we have to go through the process.
Is your
it's a question.
No, we can't do questions. It's a presentation.
I'm happy to talk to you about this right after the meeting. Absolutely.
So here's our list of questions. Then we'll give you some advance notice that Ryan will be talking to you about that.
Thank you.
Okay. No, it's a bit fun. I'm sorry. I don't agree. Okay, and also, when will be the next sunset review for the acupuncture board?
Okay.
Going to be this year or next year?
Thank
and
you.
We would like to know. What is the, I know you guys are already talking about, what is the concern about the nurse practitioner being allowed to practice in acupuncture in Arizona? My concern is that now acupuncture, it's only licensed in the state. They are getting 4 or 5 years practicing and studying in the school, and they are spend their time and money, okay, and their blood, sweat. They graduate, finally get their license here. It's not easy. And so I think of, you know, nurse, like PT, they only spend 24 hours, 26 hours, and then do the needle. I think, in my opinion, and in our acupuncture society, we think they are not getting enough, you know, proper education, so that the public safety will be greatly concerned. That's our, you know, experience. Okay. And number two. Number five here. I would suggest, you know, we are very interested about how to go to board meeting. And we would like to see acupuncture board website as well updated, okay? Because I know you got, I mean, they work two jobs. The acupuncture board and naturopath board, I certainly understand. And we all know you are sweat too. And I just don't, Minister now has been on board. We are so happy. The acupuncture board call her, she can answer the question, get an item. I think they are more smiling than get a crying. So that's good. That's good. I'm happy. And they don't have to call Ryan all the time and say, what am I going to do with this? So, anyhow, so one more thing is the website here is good, and also, for example, I brought it here. This is called acupuncture license renew. It's by a paper application, right? I think this is excellent because a lot of elderly Chinese or elderly acupuncture, they don't have access to go in the computer and they don't have. And I understand. We still have acupuncture 80-some years old and they are still working part-time and they don't want to lose their license, but they still want to renew. But this will help them to send a check to the board much easier than go online. But this board needs to be changed. I know Mario, now you are still chairman. Now it's made not chairman. So would you mind changing this and update the form?
We will still offer the paper forms into the future. We try to drive people toward the website because they're able to use their credit or debit card or an e-check and that sort of thing. But we'll probably always keep the paper form available. As far as you're talking about, the header has probably Mario still as the chairman on it. And so we can look to that. There's probably a couple forms that need to be updated, and it's on the list.
Okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the board. So these are some of the questions that came up from the membership to be delivered here. So that's
okay.
Fine. And if we don't have to have an answer today, but if we get some feedback, we can share
that. Yeah, we can get a feedback. Well, what I'd like to know is some members say, okay, how come we go to the acupuncture board website? There's an agenda, but there's no meeting. It takes about 4, 5, 6 months to get a meeting. And I know it's so hard to get it. So maybe possible or somebody can, you know, get the meeting up so that we can, everybody can know what the meeting goes after, why after the, you know, agenda. So that, you know, we will know what the board is talking.
And why,
I think,
YM, just informationally, we don't put the minutes up. The minutes are always a month behind. And so they go up a month behind, and then once the board approves it, then we put it on the agenda. And so we're 3 months behind right now because we didn't have a meeting in June, so there wasn't any June. So it's been two months since the last meeting. Yeah. What we can do, I can talk to the board about draft minutes or something like that. Yeah, we will record and have those posted. Absolutely.
So those always go up within three days after the meeting, right?
Yeah, we'll make sure that happens.
Statute, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be a live recording of the meetings available.
Okay.
Within a few days of every meeting, but yeah, the minutes, we can always put draft minutes up within a few days,
yeah.
And then once they're approved, make them official.
But of course, they won't be official minutes that the board's approved. They'll just be just like a rough draft or something.
Yes,
absolutely. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and we can do that.
Good. Yeah.
And do you receive the newsletter? Because
we have not received it. That's my next one. I talked to Jamie a while ago. We're talking about newsletter, and it's a good idea. We have a newsletter every quarterly, but now, you know, we would like to call with the acupuncture board because that will, your board, you know, our board newsletter will connect into acupuncture, so, you know, website. So we all can work together as a team. I think we need to play the good team work. I think it's important because I apologize. I know I have a hearing problem, and I speak loud. I have a hearing problem, and I have to hear it. So sometimes I'm scared to come to the meeting because I'm worried about I hear not completely. I make mistakes by hearing. So we are making a decision that having a board called Acupuncture Board Communication Team. So we're going to have each meeting, we're going to have assigned somebody to come here, you know. And our secretary is supposed to be here today, but she said she cannot come. So I said, okay, I'll come.
That's
and
wonderful.
She come. Okay, I know I have a good. So I think we want to build a good relationship with the board because I think we are going on very good. And our association now is also an ASA. You know, member, it's an society, American Society for Acupuncture, which is a national umbrella. And there are 29 state associations joined with us, that group. So the group will be, and you know, represent the entire United States and acupuncture community, that they can you know, speak for us, they can vote, hopefully they can vote for us in the near future. But we are trying to, you know, so, the members of our association also are members of national association. So we have two membership in one same umbrella. So we are doing very good. So anyway, I know your time is unpacking. You can really go ahead.
Okay, thank
you.
Sure. Well, I will say this, that this group of people have been working through associations from 10, 20 years ago. I mean, since we first got the law passed all the way through. So there's been a strong, loyal core, but it's a new organization for the next.
Yeah, it's a new organization, but we are the same person. We haven't started 20 years ago. I was the president for a couple of associations for many years, and Catherine said attending. So we have been known 20 some years. But we are old, elderly, you know, the mind. But we are body is getting old, but we are still have little energy. But anyway, we'll try our best. Anyhow, I know I appreciate it. Each one of you, you know, spend your time and energy to support our profession. And it's very nice and see you guys and really, really, you know, get to know you guys. Thank you so much for our time.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in today and speaking to us. I do want to encourage you, if you want to stay after, to get some clarifications on some things. We can speak to Dr. Jerminski or Director
Jerminski
all day long. Yeah.
I had to back to the office and see one of my cancer patients at 3:30. So I thought before you, but I would stay as close as I can.
Call David.
Yeah.
For any answers to those questions, just call David.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Ooh, are we at the beta show?
Am I missing the last page? Yes, I am. Okay. The next item on the agenda today is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding the executive director's report. Director Jerminski?
All right. Let me just catch my breath. And
we'll give you a moment. Now that you're a doctor.
Now that I'm a physician, absolutely. So appropriation-wise, next year we're going to have about $5,000 more in our appropriation because of some statewide adjustments. It's not going to affect our budget very much because they're giving us more money because they're taking more money. And it's going to be a little bit tighter this year than it was last year just because we have an additional staff member that we're paying a portion of and so on. And so we'll be watching the budget very closely this year and making sure that we're staying in the black, as it were, as far as our appropriation goes, and we're not spending outside of our authority. So the budget, it was increased, but not in any actionable way. Let's see. Summary of current events. We have a new licensing coordinator, Melissa Sanchez, who's here present at the board. She's been with the state for 15 years. Previously, her last employer was at ADOT, and so we've been training with her, and very glad to have her on board and looking forward to many years into the future. So, welcome, Melissa. We don't have any pending complaints, so that's good news. As far as a legislative update, I'm just going to go through these really quickly for the ones that have affected us and what we're going to have to do about it. Senate Bill 1062 is a bill about public disclosure of an address. Just generally, it directs that our board have an address of record designated for each licensee that is a public record for the public to access. We already have that, so it doesn't make a large difference for us. It does require that the licensee maintain an email address and a phone number with us specifically for the purpose of giving to patients who are looking for medical records. So, again, we'll probably just use the address of record that we have email and phone number for that. So that's not going to be a huge change for us.
That's the opt-out provision, though, right?
Right. So, go ahead.
Oh, so your licensees right now, you have to have an address of record, whether it's business or personal. If you don't have a business, then you use your personal. If you do a public records request, we have to give that address out. That causes a privacy issue for people who work out of their home or don't want their personal address out there. They will have an opt-out ability now with this new statute that says they don't want their private address out in the public. Before, we didn't have that option, so what boards used to do is if there was a public records request, some boards would actually contact the licensee and say, we're about to give this address out.
Yeah.
We understand it's your home address. Would you like to provide us with a work address or a P.O. box? And they'll say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit more official, and they will be able to opt out when they do their application. I think that Asset's working on something.
Yeah,
I don't know the details or the cost or whatever it's going to be, but they should be able to have that option when they apply. Some boards are going the roundabout way and waiting for public records to come in and then allowing them to opt out at that point, whether or not they would like to furnish that address.
This leads me to a question I've had. If someone should leave the state, they still need to keep records for 7 years, do they not? So are they going to give that access even if someone has not relicensed here?
So we have statutes that require that licensees retain medical records for a certain period of time.
7 years.
There are, for our board, there are umbrella statutes that say that if you close your practice or if you sell your practice, that you have to do something that will make it so that that patient is still going to be able to access their medical record, even after you've left, even if you pass away or something like that.
So you could still provide that if someone has left the
correct
state.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that doesn't mean that if a person's license expires that they're going to keep updating us with their email address.
Exactly.
That may not happen. So we may not be the course that patient goes through, but they have to set up some mechanism to provide that record.
There are statutes within the health professionals section and also within other titles. So, for example, I think Title 12. Sorry, I'm having a brain fart right now. There's a title that specifically goes to civil lawsuits.
Okay.
That requires that all medical professionals at a minimum have to retain their records for 5 years unless they have a statute that regulates their profession that requires longer,
okay.
Which yours is seven. So if within those 5 years those records disappear or that patient is unable to get them, it's in the civil suit statutes, so they would have a civil course of action against that doctor or that practitioner to sue for those records.
Absolutely.
So there are additional protections outside of that chapter. Once they close up their business here and let their license lapse, we don't have much jurisdiction over them anymore, but they would have a civil course of action to recover those records.
Thank you for the clarity. Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Absolutely.
Great question.
Senate Bill, moving on, if there are no more questions about that. Senate Bill 1086 is Health Professionals Temporary Licensure. It creates a new temporary license for that can be issued to a person to work in the state on a short-term basis when they're teaching a course, a seminar, or a class, or to work during the process of receiving a full and active license, or to work while traveling with a sports or athletic team, or to provide free services during a declared state of national emergency or national disaster. And so so this is good for 30 days. It can't be renewed. They can get two of them within a rolling 12-month period. And so they basically have to the board could charge a fee for it, which we're going to have to write rules to help define that, and create an application for it. Again, we'll need to write rules to create an application for it. For the temporary licensure, and
please wait before you start on that. There is a memo forthcoming from my boss to you guys on that. Just an FYI.
Okay.
Can you elaborate?
I cannot, because I'm not writing the memo. It's coming from my boss, so it's just there's just some there was like a floor amendment and some things that went into it last minute. We just want to make sure that all the bases are covered before everyone starts rushing to create those applications and the policies, because we don't want you guys to miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. The other requirement is that they basically file an affidavit and get a license verification to us stating that they're licensed in some other state and it's never been suspended or revoked and it's not under investigation. This statute also authorizes the board to authorize executive director to issue the temporary licenses so that the person doesn't have to wait 30 days or 60 days for their temporary license to kick in, and by that time they're going to get licensed anyway. To authorize me to do that, it also authorizes you to authorize your executive director to basically issue any other license, certificate, registration, or whatever that you want to. And so, and that would be up to you as far as what authorizations you wanted to make. So it's something that we would put on a future board meeting to discuss.
Looking forward to the memo.
All right.
Yes, coming.
House Bill 2118, this is one we've talked about previously. This is the one for unauthorized practice of health professions. It reclassifies working without a license for a health profession as a Class 5 felony. It grants the board authorization to issue cease and desist orders for individuals that they find are violating our statutes and working without a license, create some requirements for us to post it on our website and for how long we have to do that, and some mechanisms that have to start rolling into place once we receive a complaint of unlicensed activity. And we have responded to this in part already through our modification to our licensing policy to include the unlicensed activity complaints and so on. But we'll be changing that again to include the cease and desist orders once this goes into effect August 27th. House Bill 2463, Occupation Regulations, Licenses, Communications, it basically requires that we post in a conspicuous place on our website and on any applications or for license and on any denials or revocations that an individual has a right to petition the agency to repeal or modify regulations. So we'll be putting these notifications in those locations, and there's not much else that we need to do outside of that. House Bill 2569, this is the reciprocity bill, which we're now calling universal recognition. Because it's not really reciprocity. It basically requires the board to issue a license to someone who is licensed in another state for at least 1 year, We get verification from that state that they are not, that they haven't been revoked or suspended or disciplined, and they're not under a current investigation. And they have to pass our fingerprint background check, and they have to provide their citizenship information. But otherwise, they would not have to provide to this board transcripts, clean needle technique certificates, NADA or NCCAOM exams or any of that. So we would just say they're licensed in another state, they haven't been disciplined, they passed the background check, and so they're not licensed by us.
And so they just check the box that they're licensed, and then you go and do the research. They don't actually have to give you any paperwork on it.
They file an affidavit, and then they're also required to get verification of licensure sent from that state directly to us.
Ah, gotcha.
So that we're not just trusting their word for it.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. So this does help alleviate some of the issues that we've had in the past, where a person was trained in 1980, and they got 600 hours of clinical training, and we require 800, and now they have to go back to school for 200 hours, and so they wouldn't have to do that if they're getting licensed through this universal recognition.
And they have an existing license.
And they have an existing license.
From another state.
Yeah, from another state.
Can't be someone from
exactly.
In-state.
Exactly. Can't be an in-state
yes.
individual. Absolutely, yes. And so this is going to, this and the temporary license statute changes are going to require large updates to our licensing database, creating new application types and submissions and reporting and so on. We're already talking with ACET, which is basically the IT group at DOA, to make those changes and what's going to be involved in that and if and what cost there will be for it. Because, of course, we've received a mandate, but we haven't received any money to carry out that mandate, which is about normal legislation.
How long do you think a process that would be?
This goes into effect August 27th, so we have to have a mechanism to process them by August 27th. At the very least, I'll have a paper application available and probably a DocuSign document where a person can go in, fill it out online, and then we do have a simple payment portal that I could direct them to where they can make the payment, but then we'd have to take all that information and enter it manually into the system, and there wouldn't be a really good way to track it and so on. So we'll be working on updating our database to accommodate these changes.
Did ACET indicate to you how quickly they're going to be able to do so, or if they think they'll be able to make that date?
They have made no promises. And so it's not just us. There's 14 agencies on the system. And so all these agencies need these changes for just Salesforce to get this fixed. So, and this is entirely outside of the fact that there's still other issues that they haven't fixed yet and they're working on, and it's taken them, you know, over a year to get that taken care of. So I don't have a huge amount of confidence that it will be completed and correct in time for August 27th.
Okay.
So, unfortunately. But we are working with that, and I'm being as forcefully polite as possible.
Okay, so reciprocity, except what's the difference between reciprocity and universal recognition?
Reciprocity would indicate that there was an exchange of some kind. So you would contact state of Nevada. Nevada says, your requirements look similar to ours. And we say, yours looks similar to ours, and then we create a reciprocal agreement, and Nevada's licenses are accepted here and ours are accepted there for getting licensed without having to go through all the rigmarole getting your documentation together. This doesn't require any exchange. You just have a license somewhere else, and you get licensed here if you meet the requirements.
I see.
And so it's really...
And again, the requirements are fingerprinting that goes through mm-hmm. citizenship,
yep.
and then just an affidavit... and affirmation from that state that they're licensed in to us. And this goes across the board for any medical professional in Arizona, correct. Not just acupuncture.
Correct.
And there's that residency.
And they have to provide proof of residency. Yes.
Which we basically said don't get too hung up on that because it's not a different type of license than what everyone else in Arizona has. So even if you went through the struggles of trying to define residency and you put them through the hoops, they could literally move out of state the minute you give them that license.
Right.
You can't hold them here. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those things that a lot of people jumped on right when this bill first got introduced. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not a different license. So, yeah.
But we'll be updating our licensing policy again to include how we're going to
accept
these. And basically, it'll be Arizona driver's license, a water bill, some sort of proof that you're renting, something like that, to say that you car registration that you are a resident here in Arizona. And so using the temporary license in conjunction with this universal recognition requirement would allow the person to get a temporary license and start working. They get 30 days for the board to review it and get their fingerprints back and all that sort of thing, so they can get to work, gain the residency, and apply for their license.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. House Bill 2660, Occupational License Permit or Certificate. It prohibits licensing agencies from denying licensure to people convicted for certain offenses more than 7 years ago. So basically, if the offense was not a serious offense, a dangerous crime against children, a sexual offense, or a sexual exploitation of children offense, and it's been more than 7 years, you won't see it as part of your deliberation for an initial application. So DUIs, you know, yeah, whatever, yeah. So
I don't think this board's been pretty good about dismissing
right.
allegations that were longer than so many years. So.
Right.
And when does that go into effect?
August 27th.
August 27th as well, okay.
Yeah. It was a busy legislative year for licensing boards.
Also, I don't know if you were updated, but last session, boards are no longer allowed to request information on expunged criminal history. So, just as an FYI, if we ever get like an application where they're like, well, it was expunged and they provide proof, that's never going to come from the
and
board.
I think also, like currently, if something was dismissed but through a plea agreement or diversion of some kind, we still consider it because it was done through a diversion program. Because of this bill, we won't be able to consider it because it was dismissed.
It has to be a true set-aside or expungement.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Because the whole point of set-asides and expungements is to make it as if they
didn't happen.
You'll remind us of that.
I will remind you.
Yeah,
thank
well,
you kindly for that.
You
in advance.
You won't see them.
Yeah, you just
basically.
Won't see them.
That's good. So, there's a bill, House Bill 2031, and I'm not entirely sure if the Citizen Portal one passed or not, because it's not updated on the legislature's website.
So just an FYI, you will get my semi-annual legislative update, hopefully in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They are feverishly working on that in my office right now as we speak.
I'm sure.
So, I didn't see it on there, so I'm not quite sure if that one went through either.
If it did, it would basically require that all the health boards have a Citizen Portal where the licensee can go in and correct any information that the board has collected. We already have that, where they can go in and review their information. There's a login for them, and they'd be able to follow through their application, correct it, or view it, and then contact me to correct it. And so there's nothing the board needs to do.
All
right.
And then you can send that summary on to us.
The summary that we just...
The summary from the AG's office on the board changes.
Yeah, and there's also the Attorney General's Office has issued a memo on House Bill 2569, which was the reciprocity, not reciprocity bill, and that is in your materials there, where they talk a little bit about what residency means and so on, and that's for your review.
Thank you.
Let's see. War Office Highlights, we have a newsletter. So I sent that out to you yesterday. It was also in your materials. So we'll be sending this newsletter out by the end of July, and if you have any comments or whatever, please send it to me. But otherwise, this is its final state.
The only thing I noticed, David, was I went ahead and clicked the link, and since Ellen was on the call here today, I noticed that she was not listed as a licensed chemical dependency program. Mario was listed.
Mm-hmm. I don't. Okay. I think all the ones that have been approved that have made it through the process are on there.
Okay.
who am I located at?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Absolutely. What was the name of her? Was it Miss Polka or?
I don't know. It's Tucson Acupuncture Co-op is the name of it. I think there's a nonprofit called Backyard.
They haven't applied for chemical dependency program approval. I don't think so. I'll check into it and we'll get back to you.
Thanks. I thought that Jamie mentioned earlier that she had a chemical dependency program.
Okay. I think she said she was a supervisor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the supervisor was. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the newsletter includes some of the legislation that we talked about today that will be affecting acupuncturists. It has a couple of statutes or rules that affect acupuncturists that we already have and saying, hey, FYI, you should know about these things. A quick tip about questions that we receive a lot, some information about the online licensing, about the chemical dependency programs, and bios about a couple board members. And on the next one, two more board members and so on. So
maybe we can incorporate some of these questions at YM's group.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
And I had reached out. I apologize.
No, I just was curious. Did you want to take a group photo for the newsletter?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why don't
I'd love
we
to
do that.
I'd love to do that after the meeting.
Good.
And I had reached out to the Northern Arizona team and to YM and the other association requesting questions and comments that they've received previously. And I haven't received a lot of response, but absolutely we'll
you have one now.
We'll have one now. So that works out.
Wonderful. And then as you integrate those, will you send us out the new draft of it with some of the new questions integrated?
Sure. Wonderful. Absolutely. I'll send it to you.
Because I'd love to take a look at that before it's out.
Okay.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you for doing that, by the way. I'm very excited to have this newsletter out. I don't want to just brush
lovely.
Past it. Yep. It's very important that we are getting the message out to our licensees that we are here and that we are doing exciting things. And I also like the did you know section about how to do some record keeping and what our rules are about. That's wonderful. The change of mailing addresses, email addresses, all of that's really good. And I think you did a pretty good job explaining the different House bills and Senate bills. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty happy with those layman's terms. So thank you.
Absolutely.
So we will be having the letter coming out quarterly. It's in the works. It is something that's important to us. And we do have our first draft. Can we take a question from the audience?
We can take a call to the public where they can make a comment if they like.
At the end of the session, we do have a call to the public if anybody has something they want to say.
I also had a question. Just we talked at our last meeting 2 months ago about beginning the drafting for the legislature revision, mm-hmm. and because that come up in October.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be by September if there's going to be something.
I'll have some drafts for you to review at the next meeting.
Thanks.
Perfect.
Absolutely. And that's what I have for the executive director's report at this point.
All right.
Every time I say I'm done, I keep going. there's a budget and strategic plan are due September 1st. And so I'll be doing our budget, and then I'll probably ask you to do a conference call at the end of August to review and approve that. It's basically will be similar to the one that we currently have, but I'll be requesting additional money for technology and licensing improvements to the database, and you know, to help meet some of these legislative mandates that we received and so on.
Is that going to require a quorum for that call?
Right.
So if that could get scheduled sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
A lot of people have.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Don't
gloat. So it'll be on the phone. We'll do it through a WebEx or something like that.
Okay.
So you can do it on a computer or your phone.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm going to say I'm done, and then I'll interrupt later.
All right, if we are done with the executive director's report, we're on the next item on the agenda, and that's to review, discuss, and have possible action regarding future board meeting dates and times. Director Jerminski?
So the next meeting is September 25th, 2019 in Flagstaff, Arizona, and then after that, October 23 in Tucson. And we've I'll be finding a location for both of those within the next couple weeks. And similar to the last time, we'll have a big van, and we can all carpool down there or end up there together.
and time was a Prius.
Oh, no.
So it'll be a fun road trip for us all, I'm sure. So I'll send out more information about that as we get closer to it. So the next meeting will be in Flagstaff, not down here, but we'll meet at this office to shoot off to the north.
And I'll just meet you there.
Yes, absolutely.
I will probably be meeting you there as well.
Okay.
Me too.
All right.
I'll sing along in the car with you.
What's the time frame for meeting and then coming back?
Oh, so we'll be leaving in the morning, probably 8:30, 9 o'clock, and the meeting will be at noon, a couple, 3 hours of meeting, and then we probably won't be back until 6 or 7, just with, you know, after we get food and get back.
It's going to hurt.
It's a full day event.
Very full day.
Yeah. Full day event.
It's a nice, important event because it allows our licensees and the community to see us in Flagstaff and ask the questions that have been building up over the year. So it does take a little bit longer.
Yeah. So plan to have the whole day taken away from you. And again in October when we go down to Tucson.
I'd love to have everyone over from my home. If you're available, I'll cook something fun.
All right.
Sounds good.
October. Good.
October.
So the November one is like the day before Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday, I think.
It's the 28th.
So we may want to reschedule that.
Yeah. I'm like the week before. Yeah. Or even the week after.
Probably the week before.
Let me see. Yeah, let me see what's available on the calendar here. Not a whole lot of meetings in November in this building, so.
Excellent. Then we have wiggle room.
Let's see. The 20th is not available. 21st is not. We could do a different room. Let me see if the other rooms are available. Okay, so not available the 21st.
Or the
20th. Or the 20th. We could do the Thursday the 21st, but it would be in Boardroom A, which is the large one. Or we could do the 13th.
I will not be available on the 13th, but I will find you coverage if needed.
Okay. So it looks like the 13th or the 21st are going to be the days that work.
And I won't be available on the 21st, but I'll find you coverage.
Okay.
About the week after. Yeah, what about the first week in December?
Let's see.
That'd be a good idea.
That's true. Yep. I like that.
We could have a December 5th, we could find a room. And the 4th, we could again go into a large room.
I can do the 4th.
Mm-hmm. December 4th?
Yeah. I can do either.
Okay, that works for me too.
Just I'm also available.
I never have meetings the first week of the month.
All right, so that's the 4th.
Mm-hmm. At noon?
Yeah.
Okay. David, at noon is what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
And then we vote on that, don't we?
I don't think
you
need to.
No, you don't need to.
I'll just make it
happen.
Keep
it easy.
It's December 4th then?
Yes, Wednesday, December 4th at noon instead of having a November or December meeting.
Excellent.
I wish my calendar was working.
All right, I have reserved it.
Excellent. Thank you, David.
So we'll... December 4th. So I'll cancel the 27th. Bueno. Okay.
All right. The next item on the agenda is the call to the public for non-agenda items. Director Jaminski, do you have any speaker request forms?
I haven't received any.
All right. We don't currently have any speaker request forms. However, if there's any member of the public who wants to address the board, this is the time to do so. Would anybody have any comments or questions?
I have one more additional question. In the past, we used to have people, you know, the board sending out, you know, the note 3 months before the license expired. Mm-hmm. There are a couple elder patients, they do not have computers, so they don't even have email.
Mm-hmm.
So how we help them to get, you know, it's difficult because they don't have computer and they don't have email.
So
they don't receive the note, so they completely forgot.
I'd be happy to talk to you about it in detail after the meeting. I don't have a way to generate renewal notices anymore except for inside the computer system, and it only sends it by email. So every acupuncturist is required to have an email on file with us in our rules. We send out a notice 2 months before the license expires. We send another one 30 days before it expires, and then we send one to let them know that it did expire, and then we send them one 2 months after saying it's closed and you can't late renew it anymore. So you should get 4 notices if you haven't renewed. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's going to go to the email, and I don't have a way to do the paper mailing renewals anymore.
Perhaps so. Their organization set up an inbox just as a service to their members.
Yeah, that may be something that the association could do.
That's a good idea.
I guess I know who are those people, you know, who had.
Yeah, and there's no way for me to know who they would be either, so.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear that suggestion, YM?
Yeah.
Okay. To set up an inbox through your association. So your association would have an inbox. You give that email address as the email address listed on file for those licensees. Then you get the notifications, and you can let them know by hand or by phone call.
Okay.
Yeah. It just seems like a decent workaround. Thank you, Susan. That was a great suggestion.
That was a great suggestion. Mm-hmm.
Any other members of the public that want to address the board? All right. The next item on the agenda, are any items to be placed on a future meeting agenda? We did talk about David having some updates on our new wording on a couple different issues for us.
Some statutory drafts.
Statutory drafts. We have a couple in the works, so we'll hear more about that at the next meeting. Is that what you said? Or
yes.
Okay. Right, that's written down. Okay. So no other suggestions? All right. There being no further business, I call for a motion to adjourn our meeting today.
I raise a motion to adjourn our meeting.
I second that.
All right. We have a motion by Board Member Zimmerman and seconded by Board Member Hayden to adjourn our meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? It passes unanimously. The director record the vote. We are adjourned at 1:38.